Hey, welcome to the Unscripted Everything Show. Episode one of this is kind of what we're going to do for when big stuff comes around. Jake Paul and Ben Askren in their big fight tonight. Dana White betting $1 million on Ben Askren. We got a lot to talk about. Frank Mir is going to be on this. And we're going to wrap it up by talking about what we all love, WrestleMania 37. We're going to give a little review of that. And we got a lot to get into tonight on the Unscripted Everything Show.
Been a struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking with the bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember...
Welcome, everybody, to the Unscripted Everything Show. I'm your host, Stan Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
Your good friend, Eric.
What's up?
How's it going? And Clint is here.
Hello.
Hey, how's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Doing good.
We're good.
So we got a big one to get into. YouTube sensation Jake Paul, 3-0 against... a wrestling legend, yeah, a former Bellator champion, former 1F champion, championship champion, sorry, Ben Askren, Olympian, and these two bulls are going to lock horns tonight and fight. Also, we're getting into WrestleMania 37 after this, but before we do all that, let's go to Doug with the plugs.
All right, so make sure you listen to Boxman and Smirk. The Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, Mixlr.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Usually Wednesdays after AEW, Fridays after SmackDown, about 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern Time. So give them a listen. Listen to us Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the at blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Now, this upcoming Friday, there will be no show. Daniel and I are, because it is my birthday on Friday, Daniel and I plan on getting very, very drunk. Might not have any clothes on.
Okay.
New house then.
What?
So we got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. We're not going to do a show on Saturday either because it's Stevie's birthday. Yeah. So we're taking a weekend off, except for there will be a scaredy cat that Sunday. But April 30th, we will be back with the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. We haven't decided whether it's going to be Backlash 2000 or an ECW roster tier list. Now, in 3 weeks, we will be doing, because it will be the 32nd anniversary of the show, we will be doing Wrestle War 89. That is in 3 weeks on May 7th. And that is the final match in the Flair Steamboat Trilogy. Okay.
Is that on the network?
Yes, I found it last night. That's why I'm plugging this, that we are doing that on May 7th. It's because I found it last night. So it is on
the good.
It's on the clock.
Wow.
Moving on. All right, listen tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern time, to the Scaredy Cats podcast, right. Daniel and Mindy. Guys, talking Final Destination 3.
Yeah, Final Destination 3. We're going to get into that. It's one of the craziest movies in the series. Should be a good one.
Yep.
Yeah. That just kind of cemented my fear, even though I was already afraid of roller coasters anyway, but that just kind of cemented my fear of roller coasters.
Great movie.
That's pretty much it, I believe. Unless anybody's got anything else they want to... Oh! Follow us on Instagram.
Damn right.
Follow us on Instagram Unscripted Everything Pod, right?
Yeah.
Unscripted Everything Pod. You'll get a lot of show updates there. Of course, obviously, you know, We put it on Facebook as well, but, you know, Instagram is, you know, where we want everybody to go, because that'll be, that's where a lot of the show updates and what you'll find out we'll be doing for each show is going to happen.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Not
exactly.
Anything else.
No, let's get into it. So we're going to get right into the meat and potatoes to start off. Jake Paul and Ben Askren. Eric, you wanted to start out kind of talking a little bit about each guy. Let's start with Ben Askren. Through your research the past few days, what have you learned about Mr. Askren?
Askren is a world-class athlete. He started fighting, I think he's, if I remember correctly, since the age of 14. He's been fighting for a very long time. He retired 2 years ago from MMA. That's what he got. And then he's a world-class wrestler. He's an Olympian. He's a Division I champion. Multiple champions. He won a championship in Bellator and won championship. And then he fought in the UFC for a while, for a couple of years. He actually got traded from one championship to UFC for Demetrius Johnson, another legend, in 2018. That's how he went to UFC.
Yeah, one of the only trades in UFC history, too.
Yeah, legend for a legend. And Demetrius Johnson is in one championship now. He just lost his fight 2 weeks ago on TNT. They had that fight. I watched it. Ben Askren is a legend, and he's one of the best wrestlers in the sport, world class.
Now, we're talking like the sport of wrestling. We're not talking about World Wrestling Entertainment or anything like that. So we're not talking sports entertainment.
No.
We're talking amateur wrestling, singlets, and
amateur
bands.
Real
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to do, trust me.
Dan, you know. I mean, you did it, what, all four? You were all 4 years of high school, right, bud?
Yeah, two-time All-League champion and almost went to States. Didn't work out.
Nice.
Are you going to go against Ben Askren in the cage?
285 heavyweight. That was the big dog.
Ah.
Yeah, I was only around two.
Fellow hell.
Bigger guys.
Yeah. No, I wrestle like heavyweight, too.
Oh, you did heavyweight, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like the lightest heavyweight.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to do. It's a great sport, though. It teaches a lot of the conditioning. That's why this guy was interesting to me. And Ben Askren's really the wild card of this whole thing because the only difference between him and Jake Paul's other athletes or other guys that he's fought against is Ben Askren's a combat sports specialist. This is what he's done for years.
Yeah, exactly.
But unfortunately, he's not a striker.
He's not a striker. I mean, that's the narrative of this thing. He's the best wrestler ever in the UFC, but he's not the best striker. He's actually known for having poor striking.
Okay, so, I mean, this is a boxing. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So last I checked, this is not WWE's Brawl for All. So if he goes for a takedown, he's more than likely going to get in trouble.
No takedowns.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
there's no takedown in boxing.
That's kind of my point. But he is kind of out of his element here. Yes, you know, he's an MMA guy, and in an MMA fight, he can beat the shit out of Jake Paul.
Yeah.
No question about that. But Jake Paul has had a couple of professional fights. Unfortunately, he's won them.
Yes. I agree, but here's the thing, and I think this is kind of Askren's main point, because let's take it over to Jake Paul. Jake Paul is a YouTube sensation, a Disney Channel star. He was on Bizarre Vark on the Disney Channel. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that. But
I've heard of it. I don't know. Channel's gone downhill.
Yeah. So he's a YouTube star. You know, him and his brother Logan, obviously, we're going to talk about Logan later. He was at WrestleMania. He's also going to be fighting Floyd Mayweather because the world's friggin' nuts. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But
it's all about money.
It's all about money. And Jake Paul is a money fight. He is the ultimate. This is what I would say about Jake Paul, because we cover a lot of wrestling, professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And we know everything about baby faces and heels. Jake Paul is the ultimate heel celebrity. That is what he is there to do. He's there to be a dick. He's there to be a bully. He's there to make people hate him because he keeps making money off these fights. People pay to see him. Now, he's fought two YouTubers, Anson Gibb and Deji from the UK, two YouTubers that he knocked them both out.
Yeah, because I think he's got he said three knockouts or something like that, right?
Yeah. So he knocked them both out. Deji was a little harder. I think Deji was like in the fourth or fifth round. That was his first fight. And he knocked out a basketball player, Nate Robinson. Well, Ben Askren's he's never been in front of a real legitimate fighter. Ben Askren's fought Robbie Lawler. He's fought legitimate killers. You know,
exactly.
Even in Bellator and stuff, like, he went against animals, you know, and you everyone remembers with him the Masvidal knee. He was
Yeah, but nobody saw that coming. No fighter can stop that. That was just out of nowhere.
Yeah, the six-second knee to the head from Jorge Masvidal.
Well, first of all, knee strikes are supposed to be quick and sudden.
Yeah, I think anyone in that position is getting knocked out.
Yeah.
So, I've seen an Askren fight. I've seen, especially the Robbie Lawler fight. He does not have a glass jaw. Jake's going to have to keep punching and punching and punching to take him down because he can take a punch. But Jake's never been in front of him that can legitimately fight like this. Clint, I'm going to ask you this question. I know you're a little bit in the dark on this, but you saw the Nate Robinson fight. What do you think about, you've seen kind of Jake's technique. Do you think he can hold his own with maybe a legitimate athlete that's not really a striker?
Okay, so I saw the Nate Robinson fight, and you're talking about a basketball player jumping into a boxing ring. It's totally different. It was like on the grounds of a verge of a knockout. It's one element going to another. It's not going to mesh well. And now you're talking about a great wrestler going into a boxing ring. It's different in a way because wrestling is more like close contact, but you need to learn to strike. Let's put it that way. But it's kind of hard to figure out because as a former wrestler, I can't picture trying to fight or learn how to fight to go 3 minutes for how many rounds are guests are scheduled to go? Wait, 10, 12 rounds?
Eight.
Yeah. It's totally different. I mean, the stamina is different because you're always on your feet and you have to get – it's just totally different. So I'm not exactly sure. But Jake Paul, watching his fights – I mean, those three fights he did was all mainly just like rookies. This is real competition right here. So, it might be a good fight. It might be. It's just one of those, I think, a celebrity trying to make waves.
These YouTuber people, you know, some of these YouTube guys, and you watch a lot of them, and I know this. Some of these YouTube personalities, though, kind of get under my skin a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, like, they think they could do anything. I mean, this guy, he's a YouTube star. I mean, what's next? Are we going to have, what the hell is the guy, that H3 get in the boxing ring with David Dobrik since he's trying to ruin Dobrik's life? And we're finally going to get the fight there? And, like, is that what is going to happen now? Is that these YouTubers think they're so tough, they're all going to get in the boxing ring? So boxing's going to become a circus?
Well, here's the thing, because a big event that's coming up now is...
Don't tell me I just called the next fight.
No, you didn't call the next fight, but it is a lot more people are stepping in because they're actually doing YouTuber versus TikTok boxing event.
Oh, my God.
Where they're going to have like 6 or 7 TikTok stars fight 6 or 7
I better not
YouTube
be part
stars.
Of this card.
No.
I did do a TikTok.
you did one, did, or no, two TikTok.
Yeah, one did better than the other.
Yeah. But so celebrity fights are there, though. And, I mean, celebrity boxing isn't new, right? They've done it before. But this is the first time to where this is a money fight. This is a YouTuber, and he's facing a legitimate athlete, someone who's been in combat sports, who's been in the fire. He's not fighting another celebrity.
Over a decade.
For over a decade. Yeah, by the way, Ben Askren's 36 years old. You got a 24-year-old and Jake Paul, a 36-year-old and Ben Askren. Fresh off a hip surgery. He says he feels 100%, but he's been on the couch. You know, he just started the training camp. I think he's been doing it for about 2 or 3 months now, but he just started learning how to like actual just box. So there's a lot going against Askren here, and you got a younger, taller, you know, more reach. As much as I don't like Jake Paul, which I don't know anybody who does, but he's been training for
his brother.
I don't even think
he does. That might even be debatable.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't think his brother even likes him. I was watching his podcast and that he was standing up for him.
No, I mean, when Askren was on Logan's podcast, you played the video.
Yeah.
When Logan had been on the podcast, he goes, look, he goes, I like you, but I got to root for my brother.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Okay. No, if you were going against somebody I'd like, I'd root for the other guy. And I'm pretty sure if I were in a match against AJ Styles, you cannot tell me that you'd root for me to win.
I'd set up the hospital for afterwards because there's no fucking way you're winning.
See, AJ, I will root for you, but I'll have an AJ Styles underneath the shirt I'm supporting you with. So once you lose, I can take the shirt off. And to be two face.
Yeah.
But I'll be supporting you during the match.
Blood with the phenomenal shirt.
That's funny.
So, he doesn't have to support his brother. I mean, he can basically say, look, my brother's an asshole. He needs to be taken down a couple of pegs. Do it.
He has in the past, though. Like, they've had internet beef or whatever in the past.
So, but, like, the whole thing where he basically came out and said, look, I have to support my brother. It's that like, okay, well, obviously, not that he's got a beef with Askren, but he doesn't think, I think he's actually supporting his brother just because he thinks Askren doesn't have a chance.
And by the way, Ben Askren is not the favorite here. He's the underdog. Jake Paul's the best.
Exactly.
For sure. Everyone that's putting some money on this, me, myself included.
I might too.
I want Ben Askren.
Like everybody and their mom is on Paul.
Yeah.
Well, you blame
Jake Paul.
All right, so let me get this straight. So this Ben never really stepped into a boxing ring before. And you expect him to be a heavy favorite against someone who already been in a boxing ring 3 times with three knockouts on it. Even though they're all, in my case, they're all amateurs in all ways.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the only thing.
Alright.
That's what I don't get.
I'm actually expecting, and I don't like the guy. From what I've seen of him, I don't like him. But I'm expecting Jake Paul to win this thing.
That's what everybody thinks.
Now, I really don't like Ben Askren either, and that's just because I got something against guys that wear flip-flops. Because I think most of them look like bums.
He's actually a good guy. He's actually a really good guy.
Put a pair of shoes and some socks on. But I'm expecting Jake Paul to win this thing just because Ben Askren doesn't have the boxing experience.
But shouldn't athletic experience be enough? And this is the hard part because yes, these are different skills, right? Jiu-jitsu, wrestling, but you're still stepping in front of another guy.
Conor McGregor is one of the top MMA fighters in the world, correct?
Yes.
When he's not getting in because he's a fucking idiot?
Yes.
Okay. He took on Mayweather, right?
Yes.
Didn't Mayweather beat him?
Yes.
No, he did pretty good for a good boxer against one of the greatest of all time.
How many rounds did that go?
It went to decision.
It went 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it went 10.
All right, but he still didn't.
It was declared to, he was declared TKO.
Okay, so that might change it a little bit, but in theory, though, people or boxer or MMA guys don't do well in boxing matches.
Well, yeah, but you can't compare those. Because you got Floyd, who's one of the best, and Jake Paul, I'm not even ready to call him a boxer yet because he hasn't fought a boxer.
He's fought a boxer, but he has 3 knockouts.
Yeah, but
but they're all
against non-fighters.
You have to realize.
Robinson, you
knocked out a basketball player. Come on, man.
Yeah,
I didn't expect anybody to knock.
Exactly.
Jake Paul hasn't got hit yet.
Exactly.
I say this.
All right, go ahead, Eric.
Jake Paul hasn't got hit. Ben Askren is used to getting hit in the face. He knows what it takes. He knows the fight game. He knows what it takes to get hit. He's been hit before. And he's stood ground. He hasn't, besides the mascot, which is the knee, he hasn't really got knocked out. He's lost 2 fights in his career.
I'm just saying that, like, look, I know everybody wants to see Jake Paul get his ass kicked, myself included. Okay. However, is that Jake Paul has to be the favorite here because of the boxing experience. Yes, it was against amateurs and all that. This is the first legitimate athlete, and all respect to Nate Robinson.
But combat athlete. I know what you're saying.
Combat athlete. That
I
he's
see
going,
what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay. And also, the guy that hasn't had a fight in, 2 years?
No, this is the first thing he's done in 2 years.
Okay, 2 years, right? 2 years, Jake Paul's fight was when?
Summertime, maybe?
2009.
What was the Robinson?
2019, I think.
I don't remember.
The Robinson thing happened in 2020.
That was the same night that Tyson, I don't remember the date of it, but that was the same night that the Tyson fight.
Wasn't that like summer or fall?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was, the summer.
It was November.
All right, so that was in November. We're in April now. That's 5 months. So, and I'm pretty sure Jake Paul has been training for this thing since the Robinson fight.
Yes.
Okay. Ben Askren's been in training camp for 2-3 months, you said?
Yes. About 3 months, he became a boxer.
I'm just saying is that we don't know Askren's conditioning.
Yeah.
But we do know that Jake Paul somehow, in somewhat of a sense, has kept himself in fighting shape.
He's been training relentlessly for 3 months.
Okay.
Or 3 years.
All right. So he's kept himself in fighting shape. We don't know what kind of shape Askren's in.
And he does not ever look in good shape. Now, Askren's known for having a dad bod. Like, he's got a little bit of a gut out of him.
So I'm just saying, and again, I would love to see Jake Paul get his ass, handed to him. But I'm saying is that, like, Jake Paul has the advantage.
Clarence, you watched the Robinson fight, so I'm going to ask you, did it look like Nate Robinson had ever, sparred a day in his life watching that match? Or trained or anything?
No, it did not. It did not whatsoever. I say Nate Robinson was all talk, and Jake Paul made it.
Do you see the same thing happen? Or do you think Jake folds under pressure?
That's a good question.
I think this goes longer than
rounds. I think it will go more than 2 rounds. But the first round is definitely going to, fit. Because now you're actually fighting someone who knows how to take hits compared to fighting 3 people who never got hit in a day in their lives. But unless you're talking about probably like high school stuff fights. So it's going to be interesting to watch, see that. seeing how he reacts. If it's someone just, if you punch him once, you expect him to fall down. Now you don't. I don't see that happening tonight. So what's your next move?
Yeah. Go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say that Jake Paul wanted to face Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
He wants to fight Conor. From what I was talking to a co-worker today, and he said Conor actually turned him down. He didn't want to sign that contract.
Well, Conor McGregor hasn't said much because I think Conor's kind of acted like Jake's beneath him. Obviously, Jake will open some eyes up tonight if he wins.
If he can win tonight, everybody's going to want a piece of this guy.
Well, people already do. Like, next up in the lineup, I think, Nate Diaz has been talking a lot. So Nate Diaz wants to fight.
Oh.
Nate Diaz is a lot, you know.
He's beaten Conor McGregor in the Octagon before.
Yeah.
He's a legitimate animal.
Here's the thing. If I were Jake, honestly, I would just stick to, you know, fighting guys. Like, I get it, you know, you want to, you know, be this tough, legitimate boxer, right?
Yeah.
But don't go against these combat sports guys. You've done well against the two YouTube personalities and this basketball player, and I think you might be able to beat Ben Askren tonight.
Yeah.
But if you're going against a guy like Nate Diaz, or like somehow like he ends up throw another UFC name out there or MMA name or something.
Tyron Woodley.
Okay. A guy like that, guys that are still, like, kind of active.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jake Paul doesn't have a shot.
No. And even Jorge Mazza didn't tear Jake Paul up. But the thing is...
Oh, yeah. Same thing with Colby Covington.
It's almost genius. And this is the part of the show where I got to give the kid credit, and it fucking sucks. But it's almost genius to take... Okay, well, I'm going to expose MMA, and I'm going to – this guy's got a lot of steam behind him. He's one of the most hyped-up guys in the world right now. He's a huge celebrity. And he's challenging a guy who's not good at striking in a boxing match. To me, that's genius. And even Nate Diaz isn't known as a striker. He's a big jiu-jitsu guy. He can punch a lot better than Ben Askren, but that's a jiu-jitsu guy. So if anything, instead of going the traditional route and just, you know – fighting local boxers or whatever and trying to get that scene. He's making a lot of money calling out people that don't box, making them box and winning.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's been very smart strategy so far.
And
until he bites off more than he can chew in like a Conor McGregor.
Well,
something.
Here's the thing. And you would think, okay, Dana White put up the bet.
$1 million.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he bets $1 million. He's starting to get pissed because, you know, Dana White, you know, obviously an MMA guy.
Yeah.
And Logan Paul has basically come out, or not Logan.
Jake.
Thank you. Has come out and said he wants to expose MMA.
Yeah.
Dana White doesn't like that. Now, Dana White has no problem exposing other businesses, you know, like WWE, calling them fake fighting and all that, which it is. I'm not saying that it's not. But Dana White has no problem, you know, exposing other people. He just doesn't want to be exposed. And I don't blame him. I'm sure he looks horrible naked. But, like, so this would be a black eye to him personally and him. If, you know, one, he loses $1 million. And two, this YouTuber comes out and embarrasses a guy that one time was a UFC guy. So, you know, Dana White, and here's actually what I would like to see. I'd like to see Dana White say, fuck it, I'll take the kid on. And we get Dana White versus Jake Paul.
That'd be amazing.
And then Brock Lesnar comes out in the middle of the fight, F5s both of them, drops them both on their head, and they both end up in the hospital.
Now... this is a big event, right?
Yeah.
People are comparing this to, like, the Super Bowl. I think that's a little hasty, but it's a big event. You got Justin Bieber's performing, Doja Cat, Saweetie, Diplo, Major Lazer. Snoop Dogg's going to be on commentary. Ric Flair's there. Chuck Liddell's there. Do you think that this is
good for the sport of boxing that they're turning it into like a show, an event. And they're kind of not what WrestleMania does, but they're kind of, it's more like a WrestleMania entertainment
show. Yeah, but UFC's kind of showy though too, aren't they?
Not really.
Not like this, no.
No, it's not good for boxing because boxing still wants to prove himself to be a sport.
Yeah, but it's putting a lot more eyes on it. Like, this is going to be one of the bigger pay-per-views of the year.
Right. So, I mean, it could be a good thing. I mean, when you think boxing, the first name that comes to your head, comes to your mind is not Justin Bieber. although, if we can get a Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez boxing match, I'd be okay with that. Or Justin Bieber versus Jake Paul, or even Logan Paul, and Selena's one of the girls that walks around in the bikini holding the card up to tell you what round it is. Do they still have them
in UFC? I don't know. I mean, ring girls still exist. I don't know.
They did in the movie Grudge Match.
Yeah. Now that we've talked about it, we've analyzed it. We got to move on, or else we'll be here till 10 talking about WrestleMania. Ben Askren, Jake Paul, who do you got, Glenn? Who's winning tonight? And prediction, what round?
I want to go with Ben Askren. I want to support him. I think the round goes 5 and knockout.
Okay. Ben Askren, round 5, knockout for Glenn.
Okay.
Doug, how does the fight go tonight?
All right. I think it goes 7 rounds, and I think Jake Paul gets him TKO.
7-round Jake Paul TKO for Doug.
Yeah.
All right. Eric, what do you got?
I've got Ben Askren decision. I think the key to this fight is if he can get in the clutch and get some dirty boxing in and wear him out.
I was going to say decision too. But you know what? I think Ben Askren's going to get him. I'm going 3rd round knockout, Ben Askren. I think
knockout heard round the world.
Jake Paul's never been hit. We have not seen him get to react to getting hit. Tonight we will see that. Something I want to brush up on real quick before we get to Mania. You and me can kind of just talk about this, Eric, because we know him a little more. Frank Mir and Steve Cunningham are going to be at it tonight. UFC legend Frank Mir. He's going to be stepping in the boxing ring. What do you think about that?
At his age, against a real boxer, unlike Jake Paul, you know, Frank Mir is like a really heavy underdog, and I think he's going to get knocked out in the first round.
Yeah, he's 41 years old. He's a legend, but he hasn't been, you know, in his prime in a long time. So
I don't even know the last time he fought.
It's Steve Cunningham, a local Philadelphia legend, 29-9, very good at what he does. You got a prediction for that one, Doug?
I'm gonna go with the Cunningham guy.
I'm going Mir for a 4th round knockout.
I think Cunningham gets him in round 3.
Clint, you got any preference on that one?
I want to go with Cunningham in 1 round.
Okay. Repping Philly. I like it. All right, gentlemen. So now that we got the boxing, so it's going to be a big fight tonight. I can't wait to... We'll probably cover about what happened next week, but sometime down the road.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it. But let's get into wrestling a little bit. We're not going to be sticking around for too long. I only planned on going an hour tonight, so we're not going to be going too ham. But let's kind of like give our thoughts on last night. You know, we're not really going to go match.
Last week.
Last week. Let's give our thoughts on last week. I'm not really going to go match to match and get ratings or anything, but. Let's start with like night one, maybe. Plymouth, what were your thoughts on night one of WrestleMania?
Okay, night one, I think was like one of the best nights out of the two. So, and the match of the night for me, I really thought that still stole the show. What I think people really think of. I'm surprised some people don't think, well, what's the Sasha Banks, the SmackDown Women's Championship? The best, it was one of my favorite matches of the night.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing about that match. Is if you really look at it, I think it looked like Sasha was kind of like weighing over her head almost, because Bianca dominated about 80% of that match. And I think Sasha was just – well, first of all, I think Sasha's got a big head anyway. And she's very full of herself. And a lot of people expected Bianca to become too – be too overcome with emotion. Because you saw she cried before the match even started. Because she was happy to be there.
It seemed like both of them was ready to cry before the match when the bell rang.
So – but Bianca looked very comfortable in that role as main event. Sasha, I think, was too overconfident kind of going in.
But it's the character,
though. Yeah.
I mean, the match was
that's the character.
Regular.
No, I love the match.
You know, kept me up the whole time. Wasn't falling asleep. And after a WrestleMania, it's kind of hard not to. Bianca, yeah, these two women showed out. They were fantastic. You know, every move, either of them could have won, and I would have been happy for either of them. I like the way Bianca did it. And Sasha Banks, you know, she's a humble. A lot of people look at her leaving a couple of years ago and say she doesn't want to do business, but that's the farthest from the truth. She obviously wanted to pass the torch that night and did. Even though she's got a lot of years left, she still passed the torch.
And here's the thing. Bianca's 2 years older.
Yeah.
Okay. Bianca's 2 years older. Her birthday was the day before WrestleMania, by the way. Before WrestleMania Saturday. So Sasha's got a lot of time left. Bianca's got, you know, quite a few years left. They both are the future of the women's division. Okay. Two of them.
Well, Bianca's the future. Sasha's the now. That's the way I look at it.
Well, yeah.
Sasha is the now. If she's
Is now and the future. She's going to be around for a while.
I agree. But she, like, it's not like she's the future. She's there. She's at the dance. Yeah. I mean, the both of them are. They're in the main event of WrestleMania, for God's sake.
Yeah.
They're there.
I mean, and now, like, and it's kind of cool. I don't know if anybody watched NXT. I know you didn't watch NXT today night. But I don't know if with an Eric starter now, but when Raquel Gonzalez came out our promo, and
I did see that,
and then Frankie Monet, or and you know, we all know her as Taya Valkyrie or Mrs. Morrison, if you really if you want to get that technical, came out and kind of, you know, told Raquel, you know, she's you know, I'm here or whatever, and then Raquel threatened to shove her dog up her ass.
Yeah, that was something else.
Yeah. Isn't that animal cruelty?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's ass cruelty, too.
Yeah. As long as the dog's not a pit bull. but then, you know, Rhea Ripley came out and Bianca Belair came out. And that really showed that, like, you know, they're really relying on the future. You know, as far as like women's wrestling goes. And it was kind of a cool moment.
You almost had the same kind of moment too at Takeover passing down a torch between Sasha and Bailey. Brooklyn,
yeah.
The first time around.
Right. And like the funny thing is that like I don't know how like the horsewomen are backstage, you know, Becky and Charlotte and Sasha and Bailey. I don't know how they are like backstage towards people. Like if they're four of those, like, oh my God, this is my spot. You know, don't take my spot on television or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
their characters, well, not Becky. Well, Becky right now is still waiting to be cleared, I think, to come back. But, like, the characters on television for, like, Charlotte and Sasha and Bayley are very selfish and very, you know, they don't want to share the spotlight or whatever, right?
Yeah, I think that's the farthest from the truth, though, in real life. I think they.
I mean, I kind of hope so. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if the Charlotte we see on TV is the Charlotte that is backstage, because
I figured that the Charlotte that we see on TV is the one we see on backstage.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with that, just because, and I mean, Flair did do business when he felt like it was right to do business.
Well, no, he did a lot. He did a lot. He's known for making people look amazing. But it's hard to give Charlotte that same thing, because what Asuka did for Rhea Ripley on night two should have already been done last year.
Yeah.
Rhea was white hot. Why have Charlotte beat her in that? That still made no sense to me. I know to take the NXT belt off her and put it on Charlotte, I don't like it. You know?
Well, and I think it was mainly done because there were no fans in attendance, so nobody was really going to give a shit.
Yeah. I didn't like that
one. No, I didn't like it either. And that...
Well, to tell you the truth, them putting the NXT title belt on Charlotte was, I think, a way to get people to watch NXT more. Because you got to realize, AEW was just starting out on Wednesday nights also. And that's when Finn Balor made the jump back to NXT. You see Charlotte going back there. They wanted to get some stars to bring him back up. Then once people start watching it, get the title offer, and then continue your storylines there. I think Charlotte was like a domino effect of we need people to watch NXT to combat AEW. That's the only reason why they gave her that title belt.
Yeah, but then... Like, when she lost the NXT title, she never got pinned.
Because Charlotte is the Hogan. She's the Hogan, the Cena. Cena will put someone over. But Charlotte is like the Hogan. Charlotte will not put nobody over. Hence why they had to make it a triple threat match.
Yeah, and that kind of sucks. But, Charlotte wasn't... on, WrestleMania, which thank God. It sucks that, she got left out of a payday, and it sucks that somebody fucked up or whatever, but I think we owe that guy. We owe the guy that said that, fucked up her pregnancy test or whatever, we owe him a fruit basket or something. Because, he made sure Charlotte wasn't on WrestleMania.
Oh, I agree.
So... kudos to you. I mean, you're more than likely getting fired from WWE, pal, but kudos to you.
A big one I want to talk about is how good did Omos look against the New Day and AJ? I mean, he could be like a big, brutal son of a bitch. I think him and AJ could make some money here.
I don't know if...
I like him, Kevin.
I don't know of, his mobility, because he really didn't move.
He doesn't need to.
In the ring, like, he just kind of just stood there and just, like, he kind of had, like, that Khali mobility.
Well, yeah, but he didn't need to have mobility. He just needed to be a big bastard and kill people.
Yeah, and the whole New Day thing, New Day's supposed to be baby faces. And, like, they were basically being the heel team. Like, I think at one point they were actually getting booed because people wanted Omos to come in the ring.
Because they stopped Omos from coming in.
Yeah.
That was strategy, though.
Yes. But you realize, like, the team of AJ and Omos, it's like watching the team of Shawn Michaels and Diesel back in the day. It's a comparison of the two right then and there.
I mean, you are... I wouldn't say Khali mobility. I would say, like, more Kevin Nash mobility.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
How about Bad Bunny? Were we impressed? Like,
I was very impressed.
I was entertained.
And, of course, Miz and Morrison had to get the win back by beating Damian Priest in a handicap match.
you know, the next, you know, a couple nights later on Raw, which, you know, this is an undefeated streak on Raw, but, you know, he had to lose eventually. It's just, unfortunately, he lost to, you know, a guy. He got pinned by a guy in his underwear while his French bitch wife was holding Miz's feet. But anyway, you know, enough about the French pig. Back to Bad Bunny. He did very well. And I don't think a lot of people expected that. I sure as hell didn't expect it. I expected Priest to kind of carry the load and do the selling.
Bunny did most of the selling.
I'm telling you what I expected.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what happened.
He did very well. I would not be surprised if he got back into the ring again eventually. I mean, I think he should, you know, go once he's able to start touring and all that again.
That was a cool vignette too with Triple H. Yeah. That was actually pretty badass. He's like, go do what you do. You killed it here, go do what you do. And he went off on that truck.
Yeah.
The back of the, yeah, that was cool. I thought that was really cool. Strowman beat Shane. Better than expected.
I'm surprised there.
I thought
was better than I expected.
And the guy that should have interfered in that match interfered in the... Do we even have to talk about that one?
No.
Okay. We're going to talk about Night 2 a little bit here, though. By the way, good for Bobby Lashley.
I think we all agreed that was what was going to happen, probably.
Yeah, but I think now that means that McIntyre's going to beat him at the... Why is it called WrestleMania Backlash?
Oh, it's so stupid. Why? What's wrong with the name they've been using for 20 years? Or whatever the hell.
I guess they want to be creative.
That's not creative. That's less creative.
I know.
I mean, Clint,
I hope Drew doesn't win. Drew doesn't need the title.
You were the first one to kind of, you know, air your grievance about that, right?
All right, I'm sorry. About the thing, you guys, I'm sorry. My mom called me. I was on the other line. But, about the scene in Bray Wyatt?
No, about WrestleMania Backlash.
What's up with that? Because when he first advertised it, you saw the WrestleMania. I'm like, all right, yeah, and you got Backlash. Now you call it WrestleMania. What's this? WrestleMania. What's up with that?
Yeah.
I don't get it either. It's called Backlash. It's always been Backlash.
Right. I mean, you feel a lot of the backlash from WrestleMania, but that's the point of Backlash.
Now, yeah. What was your thoughts on Night 2?
I think Clinton, we'll throw it to Clinton first about Orton and The Fiend, because I know he wasn't happy about that.
Oh, my God. I think that was the worst decision ever. I felt watching Orton and The Fiend, it was like watching John Cena and Bray Wyatt from WrestleMania 30 again. The only difference is we're not going to have no stupid Firefly Funhouse, because Randy Orton is out of town in the next couple of years. Talking about how he should have won at WrestleMania 37, 7 years down the line.
I like
and then
the
having a less of... Yeah.
A little bit. Well, like, I thought the Bliss thing was cool. Like, I didn't get it.
She did her explanation, though, on Monday.
Yeah, and the explanation was good, but I think it probably should have been explained more at WrestleMania, because I think everyone was kind of like, what? Like, what the fuck just happened?
I was confused.
It was cool.
Yeah, but who is she going to lead now to go? Because obviously this is going to be, she's going to lead somebody against Bray Wyatt or against The Fiend. That's the thing. Like, who would it be?
But you really think she's going to lead someone against The Fiend, or is this actually a debuting of new the Fiendish character coming at least to the women's division?
Well, who would they bring up from NXT?
Not only...
Well,
Why not bring Aleister Black? Have him do the dark character with Alexa. She's leading him.
Well, no, they're going to start new vignettes. Or I don't know. Did they start vignettes for Aleister Black last night, Clintus? Or no, you were at work.
No, I was at work, but I did watch SmackDown before I fell asleep last night watching it. But I didn't see no vignettes on it.
Because he is supposed to come back.
So it's either him or Dexter Lumis. That would be pretty cool, huh? He's creepy.
Yeah, but I think right now he's doing his NXT stuff.
Yeah. I'm a Damian Priest.
Why would you put Damian Priest
on the show? He's already there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying Finn to
Balor?
Think. What, bringing the demon back?
Yeah.
You know what? I would be surprised. I mean, we haven't seen a demon since Finn Balor went back to NXT. The demon haven't never been heard of. And the only time the demon comes out was on takeovers and pay-per-view events. So if you was going to bring the demon back, this would be a perfect time to do it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, unless, like, they take Dijakovic out of the stupid T-bar gimmick, even though they're using him now to kind of be Lashley's backup. They take him out of the T-bar gimmick, and they, you know, do something with that. I could see that working.
Another, yeah. Probably the best match of this card for me was the triple threat.
Yeah, like, but
I also, that was good match. I know Quinnith didn't like it, though, right?
No, I like the triple threat. I call one for Roman Reigns to win that match, and I'm glad that he won the match.
In dominant fashion, too, right, Quinn? The way he stacked up those two bodies is nothing. He was the tribal chief.
Well, technically, I thought Daniel Bryan was on that back of territory. I said, this dude's in concussion protocol. Just write him off the book. He was done. That concerto just knocked him out. He wasn't moving.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy about that. With all the big, like, Belair was a great moment, right? Who else? I guess Kevin Owens had a good moment. So he got her moment.
Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley, even though you feel for him. So, but it was kind of nice seeing Roman. Like, it ended out of like a bitter, like sad note. Like, damn, Roman won. But I kind of liked that. I thought that was cool. Like, it's like not. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. The big dog won this bitch.
Yeah, and like you know, we're gonna try to build.
Well, if you really
Cesaro,
think about it, though, Roman had good backup in Jey Uso.
I mean, I thought they were going to build for something with Cesaro last night, but then Seth Rollins came out and said, we are not done yet. I am the end all be. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Your wife has more talent than you. But, so obviously, you know, they're not prepared for, you're not going to do Cesaro and Reigns yet. So who?
But there are all talks about having Edge. I think what I did see a tweet that a fan tweeted out, talk about how the double pin, how Edge should technically won the match because Edge was on top of Ryan, which Reigns was on top of, but he pinned Ryan first.
I never thought of that.
Well, if you realize, Edge was on top of Ryan, and Roman Reigns was on top of Edge. Just like before we go back to that double submission, he had to go to the double headbutt because Roman Reigns was ready to tap out to Edge right there in that crossface.
What if he had tapped out? Edge would have won, right? If they both had submissions on.
That's why Daniel Bryan caught Roman Reigns' hand and locked in a yes lock. He was no way for him to tap out.
I almost thought they were going to do that.
No.
That's funny. All right, so...
That would have been so WWE.
Yeah. Should we bring up Logan Paul taking a stunner?
Sure.
Logan Paul took a stunner.
Yes, he did.
And I was...
That was awesome.
Should have been Jake.
Yeah, hopefully the same thing happens to his brother tonight. I mean, Logan's been very appreciative. He's talked about how this is one of the most fun he's had in a long time. Sasha Banks gave him a pair of her sunglasses, so that was nice. Eric Bischoff.
I think Logan Paul is a good guy. More than
well,
his brother.
I got mixed feelings about him, but he seems to be on the up and up, and he seems to be being less of a douche lately. And it is nice. I mean, WWE is always going to need celebrities to come by and do stuff. So it was kind of cool them getting a new age YouTube star to do something.
Yeah.
And I like how they kind of like made no mistake. Like he was like a heel and like they wanted to see, you knew he was going to get stunned or something.
Yeah.
Because people think he's a dick. So, but yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed all this. Before we head home here, I'd like to get a little rating from each of you guys. So, Clinton, what would you rate WrestleMania as a whole, night one and two?
I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay. That's a solid rating. Eric, what do you think?
I'm giving it a 7 out of 10, too.
Okay. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. I mean, I think night one was better than night two. You know,
yeah.
Quite a few ways. I mean, I felt bad. I thought some guys should have gotten WrestleMania moments over others. But, you know, it was
Big E match.
Huh?
Oh, the Big E match really pissed me off.
Oh, yeah, that sucked. I had a feeling it was going to go down that way. I didn't think, though, that what the hell are they calling it? Dabakato. Well, they called him something else last night.
Commander.
You did
somebody.
Predict that. He would be a mania.
I mean, yeah. It was a decent show. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was probably a better one of the better WrestleManias in the last few years. Yeah. Mainly because they were able to do it over two nights. Which I think
now,
should
speaking
be
of that,
one.
Oh, go ahead, Doug. I think you're going to take my question.
Yeah, I liked it.
I think the WrestleMania two nights, even though they're not going to do it next year, they're going to go back to one night.
Oh,
they're
not? Okay.
I do think that it should be visited, that WrestleMania should be two nights.
I think it works out better.
I have
too,
mixed feelings about
too long.
It.
No, it works way much better.
It keeps
you compare to watching WrestleMania like 35 or 34, that's like 5 hours long. I said I will. It will take 2 days to watch it because I don't have that. No, it's just two. That's like half a day right there.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask. You get bored after a while. Even if you really like it and it's good, it's like, that's 5 hours just sitting in front of it.
Yeah, you're not going to want to watch it again.
Yeah.
And you kind of get more money out of it because people who only want to pay for night one, and you get people for night two.
Yeah.
So.
But then again, you could kind of get screwed because you get the pre-sales of people and just buying either of those two tickets. And then you realize that the match you bought tickets to is not happening to them. And they're not even really mad.
Yeah. So they're not doing two nights next year.
Correct.
As of now, let's put it that way.
Which is understandable because it's
always
tested,
card
so.
Is always subject to change, so you never know.
Oh, one more thing before we sign off. I just want to bring this up for anybody that does plan on watching. Starting tomorrow night on A&E is going to be the start of an 8-week biography series. So,
about the lost tunes of everybody, the artificial.
Well, no, they're going to do a biography special first at 8 o'clock from 8 to 10. Tomorrow's episode's on Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then afterwards is the debut of WWE's Most Wanted Travis. And basically what they're doing, like Clint just said, Triple H and Stephanie are sending guys
to try to go find some stuff they want to put in the WWE warehouse. Like, I think Mick Foley's going to do this first episode. I think Undertaker's going to be on an episode at some point. I don't know how the hell they got him or how the how the nursing home agreed to let this happen, but Greg the Hammer Valentine's going to be on an episode, which I kind of have a feeling I know what he's going to go looking for. You want me to say it, or do you want to?
His LGN or what?
No, his the Rhythm and Blues Hasbro that they supposedly made of him. That apparently Zack Ryder owns. So I don't know if he has to go put the figure four leg lock on Matt Cardona or what, but he owns like some version of it. It's a long story. I'll save for another episode. But yeah, so that debuts tomorrow. And for anybody that likes to collect like wrestling memorabilia, you know, I'm a figure guy. And I do have like other wrestling memorabilia too. Like I have the magazines and all that. This is kind of like a cool show to watch because then like you'll get to see like the value of it or, you know, like the value of like certain things.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of cool to check out. I just wish it was on earlier than 10 o'clock so I could stay up and watch it.
Absolutely. All right, guys.
I have a question for Doug.
Go ahead.
When is Dark Side?
Isn't that coming back in
May 6th? May 6th. I think the first Friday in May or Tuesday.
I'm looking forward to that one. Wait, what's the debut episode? Not debut, the season episode. What they say?
I have no idea. It might be on Brian Pillman. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I think it's Pillman.
This is a Thursday clinic, by the way.
Huh?
May 6th is a Thursday, by the way.
Oh,
yeah, that's my dad's birthday.
But, all right, yeah, so, you know, that's something else to look forward to. All right, Daniel, take it home before somebody else has something else to say.
Jake Paul versus Aspen, the mega fight is tonight. It's going to be a big one. Fight TV, if you will. We're going to be talking about it. Go Aspen. Obviously, Doug voted for Paul. Maybe a wise choice. We'll see what happens. And we'll see everybody next time we all get together. Thanks for doing this, guys. It was awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Later.
Bye.
Have a good night, guys.
You too.